Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, my boy Ellison Hubbard there. He texts me all the time. He's following Colorado State very closely. He did not like the fact that Primetime was talking to the 76ers, but while the 76ers are practicing at Moby Arena. He was bummed about that. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, have you seen any 76ers floating around there in your journeys covering all things CSU?
I personally have not. I've got a couple texts from people that work on campus saying, I just saw the 76ers rolling out of Moby Arena. It's still just odd. It's kind of funny. I keep joking, if we were ahead to Old Town, would we see Joel Embiid, just strolling down the street, heading to Bondi or something maybe. But no, I have not had any sightings. I've had some people, like I say, text me, they got stopped by the caravan driving the Sixers bus in, clearing traffic, things like that. So it is kind of funny and just super random.
It really is, and I know James Harden didn't get there till like a day later, and I was like, well, maybe because there's no strip clubs in Fort Collins, so maybe that's why Harden didn't. Or I don't think there are strip clubs in Fort Collins, but I thought maybe that's why Harden was staying away.
Yeah, he had to contemplate if he wanted to make the journey.
I told Mike Brohard, I was like, hey, I don't care what it takes. Get some inside information. I know the Nuggets will beat the Sixers anyway, but a little inside information, some out-of-bounds plays or something. Get us something we can use. He refused, though, Kevin, so I might need you to step it up and do something, man. We need all that. We need to repeat this championship run.
Well, I was wondering, maybe the Sixers are trying to get a little pre-scout in. They might see a little point guard in Fort Collins that they might want to scoop up next year. So, we don't know that's not a pre-scout mission. I mean, it makes sense.
I would love to see that. Isaiah Stevens maybe getting on the Sixers. Personally, I always say this, and I probably, sound like a broken record, but any player that I always like for CSU, I always say the same thing. They would look good with the Nuggets or the Broncos or whatever. Isaiah Stevens, I would like to see him as a backup point guard for Jamal Murray. How about that?
There you go. Already got the wheels turning. We haven't even started his last season. We've got it cooking.
At least we don't have to have the conversation of, hey, is Isaiah coming back or not? Or is he hurt right now? I'm knocking on wood. So we're starting off already a lot better with Isaiah Stevens with CSU this season.
Oh, man, I think everything for that basketball team is better right now than it was a year ago. Not due to anything negative. Anything wrong, but they were replacing David Roddy. Like you say, Isaiah Stevens got hurt in camp. Josiah Strong was bad, kind of in and out. You just had so many weird things happen last year that kind of derailed that season. I think people are excited right now about this basketball team, and rightfully so. I was at their first practice last week, I think it was, and there's potential in this group.
Yeah.
Here we are. It's October. We're talking basketball.
It's crossover time. it's my favorite time of the year, especially as we start getting into actual games. And I am pumped to see what this CSU team can really do this season. Kevin, here's an oddball question. Maybe not that odd because I think we've talked about it. But let's say CSU is great. Maybe they go dancing again. Is a guy like Ali Farokhmaneish going to be long for Colorado State?
No, he's not going to be long for being assistant coach. I guess I'll say
that.
He's a head coach in the making. Now, obviously, one of the things that always comes up every time CSU starts winning is CSU fans start to worry about the coach and if they're leaving. So, if Nico Medved were to, be hired away elsewhere, I think the, probably number one candidate should be Ali Farokhmaneish to replace him, but also in a separate way. I think Ali will be a head coach, sooner or later. He's just got everything you want in a coach and hugely respected, big basketball mind, great recruiter, all those things. I think one way or another, he's going to be a head coach and, that's a great thing. I know sometimes it's frustrating. Fans get bummed to lose coaches, but you're much better off having coaches that other schools want to hire because they're so good than previous regimes in certain sports where no one wanted any of the coaches because they weren't very good.
Do you think, and I've asked you this one a million times too, but don't you really feel like maybe Nico Medved could be the guy, the kind of guy that's like, you know, I love it here. I get to do whatever I, you know, whatever I want within reason. I'm kind of the man here. Even if they go on, do great things, don't you feel like Nico Medved might be the kind of guy that's like a Sonny Lubick type of dude?
I don't think it's impossible, and especially basketball lends itself more to that because you can build a really dominant program anywhere. I mean, obviously, you know, Gonzaga is the focal point of that. And, you know, again, not saying CSU is going to turn into Gonzaga, but it kind of goes to show that you can do it anywhere, whereas, you know, football maybe less so, at least to a certain point. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's impossible. There's, you know, it's not a secret that him and his family love Fort Collins and Colorado State. So, you know, I don't think he's a guy that's just going to jump for any job. You know, on the flip side, you know, if Coach K calls him and says, you know, my guy Shire's not doing the job at Duke. We need someone else to come in. I think you're the guy. That would be hard to turn down, but no, I mean, I don't think it's impossible that he could be he's already kind of long-term, but a really long-term type of coach.
Well, and I'm always selfish with this stuff, Kevin, because I always like coaches that are good on air and they're easy to talk to and want to do it. So I'm always like, keep those guys around. The ones that don't really care about it, Steve Adazio, then maybe, you know, I'm fine with moving on from those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it is important anywhere, but especially in a community like Fort Collins. It's still, like, it's not a small town, but it has some of that vibe, and you want to have, you know, likable people in charge. And, you know, in the two, you know, biggest revenue sports right now in football and men's basketball, I think you have that at CSU. So, absolutely, if you can combine likable people with winning programs, which is, you know, what those two are striving to do, that, you know, that's the dream scenario. If you're Joe Parker, that, you know, that's exactly what you want. Because even in a mythical world where Steve Adazio could win football games, obviously, a lot of people would get on board because of winning, but it wouldn't be as warm and fuzzy because, you know, he just wasn't a likable person. Whereas, you know, if you can get wins with Norvell and Medved, man, that's the perfect scenario for CSU.
No, it really is. Those guys are likable guys, good in the community, they're outgoing, all those great things. Kevin, going back to the Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and the game on Saturday, the football game, CSU gets the dub 41-20. A couple of questions I have on the game specifically. I kind of felt bad for Joe Parker on this. I don't think he's done everything right. I don't think he's done everything wrong. I actually really like him. I think he's a really nice dude. But, I mean, my goodness, people are going at him for the lightning stuff. I mean, what are you going to do? Everybody has to delay if there's lightning in the area.
Yeah, it is fine. I totally agree with what you just said. There are some things that Joe can be criticized for over his tenure, no doubt. But there have been a couple instances this season, you know, the Washington State game, there was a weird surge of people kind of attacking him for that, where, you know, he doesn't do much of the X's and O's. He doesn't really have anything to do with that. And then, yeah, the anger of the lightning delay, like, hey, no doubt, no one likes those. Everyone's frustrated. I'm sure Joe was probably top of that list. But there are NCAA mandates about if a strike is within a certain distance, you have to delay. And it's not Joe sitting there, you know, with his iPhone map open saying, well, that looks kind of cautious. You know, they have these systems that set the alerts. And so, you know, it's not a human decision. It's made by the, you know, weather machines. It's not Joe Parker's decision. Obviously, you know, yeah, I saw some just completely absurd messages on social media about, oh, this is the way you treat people. It's like, I don't think anyone at CSU wanted to hit the brakes and postpone that game multiple times. So yeah, it's definitely silly when people attack, you know, an individual for that when, like you say, it's just completely out of everyone's hands. There are mandates. You know, you and I have been around a lot of high school events for various things, and you get the delays there too, and it's the same thing. They have systems that say, oh, you know, there's a strike within X number of miles. You know, you have to postpone for the moment. It's just not a human decision. It's literally required.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, and I just advise Rams fans, if you want to be critical of Joe Parker, all the power to you. But when you're critical of every single thing that happens in the world and blame it on Joe Parker, then all of the real criticism just goes away. Like, it doesn't have any venom anymore. So I would say save your criticism for things that he actually does 100% control, like maybe not the weather.
Yeah, it's the boy that cried wolf problem,
yes,
right?
Great,
you know,
point.
If you whine about everything, everyone stops listening because you just assume they're whining about nothing. So yeah, I mean, again, it's hugely unfortunate and frustrating. Like, I was just pacing the press box bored to death and frustrated that wasn't happening, but it's no one's fault.
Yeah, no, it was weird.
We all love blaming people, but this was just an unfortunate timing.
So on this game, obviously there's so many highlights to take from it. The Lightning delays, two of them, and then the weird halftime in the mix certainly slowed this thing down. But here's what I was scratching my head about this. Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, great game overall, couple picks, whatever. Game's over, basically. Rams are running away. Jackson Brissot goes in. I kind of thought maybe Clay Millen would go in. Is Clay not the number two anymore? Or was that more of a, we're not going to embarrass Clay by putting him in the game to have him just hand the ball off?
Yeah, I think it's a variety of things. I think I do wonder, I haven't asked Jay, and I doubt he would really address it head on, honestly. But if CSU had been up 35-0 at half or something, I could have seen a situation where you get Clay a couple series just to, you know, get him some rhythm, see if he can build some confidence. But considering, you know, it's fairly late on in the game, yeah, I think, like you say, there's no real benefit. And then I think there's the flip side, too, of Jackson Brissot is a true freshman that they're really excited about, and that's kind of, you know, potentially your only chance for him to get in the game this year. So give him a few reps, at least let him feel college football. He still can redshirt and all that. Clay has still been running number two in practice, so all signs are that, you know, knock on wood, but if something were to happen, either injury or ineffectiveness, that it would probably be Clay who comes in, you know, in a game. So I don't think, I put that in mailbag today, I don't think that was a change in the guard, more a, hey, here's a chance to give the kid some reps, you know, let's go for it.
Yeah, probably right on that side, because at first I was thinking, oh, Clay's going to get ready, he's going to come in, and then as when he didn't, I kind of said, that makes sense. It's not like you're really going to put much of what your offense is out there at that point. Ultimately, CSU gets the dub, 41-20. I walk away with my main concern, I guess, Kevin. It's hard to have many concerns when you do win like that, but is kind of the gap control, is stopping the run. Ultimately, it worked out, but Ronnie Walker Jr., I mean, he was running through wide open halls, man. He was getting some big gains, especially in that first half.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, that first Utah Tech drive, they just gashed CSU. Obviously, it ended with Jack Howell making an interception, which kind of stemmed any momentum, if you will. But it is alarming, the yardage CSU is giving up. And at key times, you know, it seems like important third downs, they're not getting the stops. It's a boomer bust defense right now, to be honest. They are making big plays. I mean, the defense has scored two touchdowns. They get a ton of sacks, but they're also giving up big plays. Boomer bust can work, you know, if you do continue to force turnovers, but it's kind of a risky way to live because especially, you know, like fumbles, you know, there's a large part of that's just chance. And so if it starts to turn, and you're not getting stops otherwise, you know, that can really hurt you. So, yeah, I think the defense definitely has to improve. And they've been straight up saying that, you know. Jay Norvell after game said, you know, we need to be better. Chase Wilson said the same of, and you can see it, they're basically playing halves. You know, they've kind of had a good half in every game. But, if you want to reach, you know, high goals, you need more than a good half every game. So, yeah, I think the defense is the main concern. The turnovers that CSU has had, you know, Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, it's a concern in a way, but it's also just what you get with a kid. So I don't think it's super alarming. It's just kind of growing pains that you have to roll with and you are willing to roll with when he's putting up the numbers he is. So that, again, needs to be cleaned up a bit, but isn't a massive concern. But yeah, this defense needs to be better, and the depth chart changes that we are kind of seeing with some young guys rolling in, I think that's a pretty clear message that they're not happy with some of the things going on.
Well, I'm looking forward to going more in depth with you on that discussion, as well as a look at Utah State and what it's going to take for CSU to go 1-0 in the conference and make that their third win in a row. Rams Weekly coming up today at 5 o'clock. Kevin and I sit down for a full hour, so looking forward to that, my friend.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We have a ton to talk about, and kind of exciting times. It feels like a corner is starting to be turned.
It really does, and I'm pumped for it. I'm happy for CSU at this point. We'll look forward to catching up with you this afternoon, my man.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Almost said Fort Collins Heating and Air because I heard that ad. Fort Collins, Coloradoan. All right, we'll take a quick break. I'll wrap up hour number one. We got the Lunch Rush. I got Jesse Kurtz coming up. Thursday night special. Hooligans, where are you going? Bears win, Bears cover, Washington goes crazy in this game. Let's get your thoughts on it. Text us, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk on Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.